Today, Shir's Masechta Bava Kama on Daf Kuf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis at the beginning of the second of the wide lines with the words Tana Rabbanan. Before we begin today's Shir, a brief Hagdama so that we remind ourselves of the Sugya that we learned in yesterday's Shir. Today's Shir is a continuation of what we learned yesterday. In yesterday's Shir, at the top of the Amud, we learned a braisa, likach loichitin v'lokach mem sayrim. If someone sent a shliach to buy for himself, for the mishaleach, wheat, and instead the shliach was mishana, he changed and he bought sayrim. So we learned in one braisa, which we're going to focus on now, three lines down on the top of the Amud, at the end of the line, in pichasu pichasu loy, if the Sa'irim went down and the person, the Baal Hamois, the person who had given the money, lost money. So then we say the loss goes to the Shliach who was Mishaneh from the instructions of the Mishalech. The Im Hoysiru, however, if there was a prophet, Hoysiru La'emtza, then the prophet gets split whatever the proportion of they had made between them. It gets divided up, but the Mishaleach gets part of the profits. And Rabbi Yochanan had explained that braisa according to Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. That Rabbi Yehuda holds that our Mishnah, even though the craftsman was Mishana from black dye to red dye or vice versa, such a shinui in instructions is not called a shinui. You cannot compare it to a gazlan who is mishana. By a gazlan who is mishana, we say that the gazlan through the shinui is kaina, and any loss or profit would go to the gazlan. He has to pay back to the owner the value of that which he stole. However, a shinui in instructions, Rabbi Yochanan holds, is not a shinui. This is saying pshat in the braisa aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore there is no shinui. If there's no shinui, then we don't say that all the profit goes to the shliach who is mishana, but rather the mishaleach and the shliach together, they share in the profits. True, if there's a loss, we penalize the shliach for changing from the instructions of the mishaleach, because the mishaleach can say, I didn't send you to cause me a loss of money. But if there's a profit, since shinui is not kaina, then we say that they both share it together. On this, we had approximately 10 lines down in the Gemara, Mechaiku alab Marava, that in Marava, in Eretz Yisrael, which is west of Bavel, they laughed. We spoke out the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Zayin and Mebeis, that wherever it says Mechaiku alab Marava, it refers to Rabbi Yosi or Rabbi Chanina. And in our sugya today, we are going to refer to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, to the one who laughed in Marava at Rabbi Yochanan's pshat in the braisa that it's going aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to refer to him as Bnei Marava. So the Bnei Marava disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan, and they said, V'chimi hoidiu lebal chitin sheyakne chitin lebal mois. If, as the Gemara explained, if the shliach does what the mishaleach tells him, get me chitim, and he gets chitim, so then he doesn't have to know who the mishaleach is. The one who is selling the chitim, since the shliach is an agent of the mishaleach, it's as if he was makne to the mishaleach, even without knowing. However, if the shliach was mishana, and Rabbi Yehuda holds this is considered a shinui, even if there is a profit. But yet he holds that such a shinui is not kain. And therefore, both the mishaleach and the shliach have a chelik in the profits. On this, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Bnei Marava, asked the question, since I'm not acting as a shliach because I changed from your instructions, and the one who's selling the chitim doesn't know who you represent, so in fact, he doesn't have endas to be makna de chitin to the mishaleach, and therefore his question is, how is the Mishaleach, how does he have any part in the prophets? He should have no part in the prophets. Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that the Braisa does go like Rabbi Yehuda, apparently holds that the Baal HaChitin, that the person who's selling the Chitin, he has in mind that whoever is the real owner, whoever, if this person represents himself, I'm being maknet to him. If, in fact, he's representing somebody else, then I'm maknet to whomever is the Baal HaMois. Whoever's money this is, whether I know the person or not, I have in mind. This is the crux of the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, the Bnei Marava. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the person who's selling has in mind whoever really owns the money, to him I'm being makneh, whereas the Bnei Marava hold that no, I'm being makneh to who I think I am dealing with, to who I think is the real owner of the money. I'm not makneh it to someone who I'm not aware of. Based on this machloikis, the Gemara now is going to bring a brisa where it would seem that the brisa supports Rabbi Yochanan Shita against the Bnei Marava. Let us now begin the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. A Rabbanan taught, Halekeich Sada B'Shem Chaveri, if Reuven bought a field in the name of his chaver, for his chaver, Ein Kaifen Oisai Limchor, we don't force him to sell. The Gemara is not explained. The Brisa doesn't explain who are we trying to force. Who's the Oisoi? We will see that in a moment in the Gemara. Ve'im Amar Lo Amanas. However, if the Lokeach said that I'm doing it on condition that you do force him, then Kaifen Oisoi Limchor, then we do force him to sell. Ma'ika Amar. The Gemara immediately asks, this is ambiguous, this Brisa. What is the Brisa trying to actually say? Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said the following pshat. Hachi Kamer. This is what the Brisa is trying to say. Halakeach Sodom Mechaveiro. Bishem Reish Galusa. If someone buys a field from his friend and he's buying it in the name of the Reish Galusa, in other words, really he intended to buy it for himself, but he wants in the shtar that it should be written that it's being sold to the Reish Galusa, because he's afraid, as Rashi says, asikin, which means tough people, may challenge this sale, and he won't be able to withstand their pressure. So he figures that if he writes the Shtar Mechira in the name of the Reish Galusa, who was the head of the Golus, who was the most powerful person in Golus Bavel, nobody wants to start up with the Reish Galusa or with the house of the Reish Galusa, and therefore he will avoid having any discussions or litigations from other parties, but really he intends to be coin it for himself. So the din is, Ein Kaifen Oisai Reish Galusa Limchor. I'm going to learn the Gemara in that as various pshat, and we're going to learn according to the Shita Mekabetzes, which is also the way the Ktsois in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel Sifkat and Dalit learns. We don't force the Reish Galusa Limchor means that it is a kinyan for the Lekeach, who is really the Baal HaMois, but he doesn't have any documentation. The documentation, the Shtar says that it's sold to the Reish Galusa, so Bezdin doesn't force the Reish Galusa to in turn write another Shtar, which would indicate that the Reish Galusa is subsequently selling it to the real Lekeach. That we don't do. But if the Lekeach specified, I'm only buying it amanas that the Reish Galusa will eventually write a shtar and in the shtar indicate that it's being sold to me, then if he made such a stipulation, kaifenes Reish Galusa limchor, then we do force the Reish Galusa to sell. And now the Gemara is going to analyze this brisa in connection with the machloikis that we spoke out at the beginning of this year between Rabbi Yochanan and the Bnei Marav. Omer Mar, we learned before, Halakeich Sada B'Shem Reish Galusa, Ein Kaifen Oisai Reish Galusa Limcha. We don't force him to sell. Which, as the Ktsois learns, means we don't force the Reish Galusa to write another shtar indicating that it's being sold to the Lekeach. Michlal, the Mikne Kanyale. So the whole discussion is here whether we force the Reish Galusa to write a shtar Mechira or not. But this would indicate that the real person who is Konet is the Lekeach. The one who pretended that he represents the Reish Galusa. He's really the Baal HaMois. He's really the one who's buying it for himself. And he is claimed it to it. He makes the kinyan in it. The only question is, he doesn't have documentation. This is the way the Tzais learns. On that, we don't force the Reish Galusa to supply documentation. If so, lema pliga de b'nei marava, then this should be a proof to Rabbi Yochanan against the b'nei marava. This b'risa will argue against b'nei marava. Because what did Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, the b'nei marava, what did he say? The Amri, they said, v'chimi hoidio lebal chitin, sheyikne chitin lebal abayis. In the case which we had negated b'risa on the top of the Amud, so his challenge to Rabbi Yochanan's pshat in the Brice that it's going alibi to Rabbi Yehuda was that if the shliach changed, deviated from the instructions, he's no longer a shliach, he doesn't automatically represent the mishaleach, and the Baal HaChitin who's selling the chitin thinks that he's selling it to the person who's in front of him, who has the money. And according to the B'nai Marava, he does not have in das to be makne it to someone that he's not aware is the seller, is the buyer. So in our case over here, who does he think the seller that he's selling it to? The Reish Galusa. He thinks that the person who's in front of him is a representative of the Reish Galusa. He doesn't realize that the person in front of him is the real Baal HaMois, is the real person who's lekeach this field. But according to the B'nai Marava, we go with what he thinks is the real person who's buying it. We don't say that he hasn't dosed, like Rabbi Yochanan says, that to whoever is the real Baal HaMois, to him I'm being maknit. So if so, here it says that the only thing we don't do is force the Reish Galusa to provide documentation, but the Etzem Kinyan is that of the Loikeach. But according to B'nai Marava, how could the Loikeach be kainet when he's representing himself as a representative of the Reish Galusa? And the person's being maknet to whom he thinks is the real kainet, which would be the Reish Galusa. So the Gemara says, that's, you have no proof to Rabbi Yochanan Shita against the B'nai Marava. Imishum ha loy kasha kegoin, the ajil abal sadev idiyin ulisade, that he told the moicher to whom he's really selling it. He told the moicher in front of Adam, listen, you're really selling it to me. I'm the lekeach. But I don't want people to give me a hard time, so I'm gonna write in the name of the Reish Galusa. And therefore nobody will challenge this sale. And later, I'll get it from the Reish Galusa. But if he didn't stipulate this as a tnai, if he just told the Baal HaSod and the Edim what the real Mechira was, he didn't stipulate a tnai that I must get a shtar also from the Reish Galusa that it's being sold to me, then we can't force the Reish Galusa. So we do have a pshat here. According to this pshat, it's not a raya against the B'nai Marava, because it's speaking about here where the seller knew to whom he was really selling it to. Tosfos on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph asks a question, why are we bothering here with the Reish Galusa? If the Edim really know to whom the Meicher is selling it, why don't they write a second shtar that this field is being sold to the person who's saying that he represents the Reish Galusa, but really he's representing himself? So why don't they write that shtar, leaving out the Reish Galusa and putting in instead the real Lekach? Answers Tysus that the Edom don't want to do it. They don't want to sign on two different shtars, one shtar that the field is going to the Reish Galusa and one shtar that it's going to the real Lekach. It'll look like one of the shtars is not, accurate, is a sheker. They don't want to be, party to something that is very obvious that there's something wrong here. So he couldn't get the Edim to sign a second shtar. So if he made a stipulation, then he could force the Reish Galusa. But if he didn't make a stipulation, he can't. Now the Gemara says, okay, we have a pshat in the Reish. I'll aim a sefer. Tell me the sefer. Alma naskaifanaisa Reish Galusa limchor. If he made a condition, then we could force the Reish Galusa to write another shtar mechira. Amai, why? V'leima Reish Galusa, the Reish Galusa used to say, loya kri chubino, I don't want your honor. V'loy zilu sai chubino, I don't want your degradation, your cheapening of me. As Rashi explains, I don't need you to make me the, to put it in my name so that people will be afraid, to challenge. And I also, I don't need the opposite, that, that you're going to make me, write a shtar indicating that this field that was written in my name is really not mine, and I look, like a cheap person that I have to go and sell, these fields which are not mine. So I don't need your honor, I don't need your bazillion. In other words, how can we force the Reish Galusa to do anything here? El Amar Bai said, Pshat does not hold out in the entire brisa. So Abaye says, I have a new pshat. Hachi kamar. This is what, different than what Rav Sheisha said, pshat in the brisa. Halakeh sotah b'shem chaveiroi reish galusa. If he's buying the name of the reish galusa. So far we have the same case. The, Yaivit says that we are going to receive the words reish galusa. If you look at the Masar Shashats, Oisvav, he says, Barash Eina. We don't have the words reish galusa. We will go with the Yaivits that it was speaking again, that he's buying the field in the name of the reish galusa. As we turn to Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, the pshat in the Braisa is not whether we force the reish galusa or not. You can't force the reish galusa to do anything. But ein koyfen es ha-moicher limcher zimranachriti. As Rashi explains, we don't force the moicher to give a second shtar. The lekeach could say, listen, I need one shtar going to the Reish Galusa so that I don't have any problem from the asikin, from the tough people who want to challenge this sale. And later I need another shtar that the Reish Galusa or his Yorshim should not come to me and say, hey, I have a shtar that this belongs to the Reish Galusa. It's his field. So I need another shtar from the Meicher that it's really being sold to me. So if I didn't make a stipulation, I can't go later to the Meicher and ask him to write the second shtar. He can refuse. But if I bought the field on condition that you're going to write me two shtars, one to the Reish Galusa, and subsequently you're going to write a shtar that it's being sold to me, then we could make, force the Moicher to write a second shtar. And now we're going to analyze this pshat of Abaye. Amar Mar, we learned before, Halakeh, Sotah B'Shem Chaveiroi, which we interpreted was the Reish Galusa. He writes in the first shtar that this field is being sold to the Reish Galusa. Ein Kaifen, Esa Moicher Limcher Zim Nachriti, the Moicher doesn't have to, sell, to make a second shtar Mechira that is being sold to the Lekeh. Ask the Gemara Pshita. What way could we force the Meicher to write two shtars? Mao, the same I would have thought. Matzi Armalei, that the real Lekeh could say to the Meicher, Meide Yadis Yunodano Linaf Shoi Shakilna, that I was really taking it for myself. U Panchaya Ba'almahud Kabino, I wanted only a Panchaya. Rashi says Panchaya is Lashon Chayzik. I wanted a security. I wanted strength. I wanted to make sure that nobody challenges this sale. I'm not going to throw out money for nothing. Ella daited the cost of leishtar achrinah. So my mind was that definitely there's going to be another shtar written, and that you should write the shtar. You, Moicher, should write me a second shtar, even though I didn't specify it directly. Kamash malan. So therefore, it teaches us to amar leih that the Moicher can say to the lekeach, inyana avdilach. Rashi says inyana means a tnai. I thought that yes, you were going to have a second shtar, but you were going to make that stipulation up with the Reish Galusa. But not that you're going to come to me for a second shtar. I don't want to sign a second shtar. That he, the Reish Galusa, would give you a second shtar. Then the Braisa continued, but if they made a condition, then you could force the Moicher to write a second shtar. So the Gemara asks, if they made a condition, pshita, this also is pashit, what's the chiddush, leit tzricha, must be. That he, as Rashi explains, he didn't make an outright stipulation with the Moicher, because then of course the Moicher has to write a second shtar. But rather, he said to the witnesses, come day in front of the seller, you should see that I want another shtar. I want you to realize that I'm buying this only because I want another shtar. But he didn't say I'm making a stipulation with the Meicher. So I would have thought Matsi Armalei, he could say, the Meicher could say to Lekeach, Matzi Amalei. Amina, I said, Shtora Mehechta Koshakal Bishmei Kamrat, that when you were saying this in front of the Edom, you meant to say that you're going to get a second shtar from the person in whose name you wrote the first shtar, namely the Reish Galusa, that he's going to write it to you. Kamash Malan, therefore, teaches you, no, the Amalei, that the Lekeach can say to the Moicher, Lahachi Tarchi, that's why I bothered. V'amri Lula Edom Kamach, that I, and I brought Edom and I said in front of the Edom, in front of you, Deminachu Dekabeino. I had that you there, I had the Edom there, and I made this statement. So what I was trying to say, even though I didn't make a beferish stipulation of Tanai, I meant to say that you should write it, and then in that circumstance, Ein Echanami, we can force him to write a second shtar. That's considered as if it's a beferish, a clear Tanai. The Gemara relates another story, which is connected with the B'nai Marava, Rav Kahana, Yoav Zuza, Akisna. Rav Kahana gave money to someone for flax. Toisvus, second Toisvus on the Amid Divya Maschil, Yoav Zuza, Akisna, states, Hashtas al Kedatach, Dairi, Demoshech Nami. He made Mashicha. The Gemara's Havamina is that he bought the flax, Rav Kahana, and he was kind of the flax through Mashicha. But he didn't take the flax home. He's going to take the flax home at a later date. He left it by the person from whom the seller who had sold him the flax, from whom he had bought the flax, he left it by him as a pekodin. Continues the story. The flax went up. It was worth more. Without asking Rav Kahana's permission, Zavne Marvasa, the owner of the previous owner of the flax, the Kisna, he sold the flax with the intention, as Rashi says, to give the profits, the money, what it was worth, plus what it had gained in value, to give it all to Rav Kahana. So everything's good. Rav Kahana's going to get a nice profit. No, Rav Kahana has a shaila. Asla kamei to Rav. He went in front of Rav or Malay and he said to Rav, my Ovid, what should I do? Aizel Eshkel Zuzoi. Should I go and take the money? Amalei, it depends. E ki kozavni amri hai kis to the kanahu. If when he sold it, he said to the purchasers that this is Kahana's Kisna, so then the halacha is that you are able to take it. Zil shkoil, take the money, no problem. But v'iloi, but if he didn't tell them that this is Rav Kahana's flax, loy tishkol, you cannot take it, as Rashi says, because there's a shail here of ribbis, and at the last two words of the Tosfos, kiman, kibnei marav, Tosfos says, umechse keribbis. It's not a real case of ribbis here, but it looks like ribbis. Because in fact, he gave him, let's say, $5, and he gets back after the flax appreciated in value, he gets back $10. So it looks like ribbis. So now let's analyze, why is it better if he says, if the Lekech knows it's Rav Kahana's or not? Come on. Who's this going like? Who's Rav paskling like? Kibnei Marav. It would seem like he's going like Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, Bnei Marav, Adamri, that they said, me in the sugi we learned on Kuf Beis Amid Beis, me idea Lebal Chitin, who told the Bal Chitin, she yakne Chitin Lebal Mois, that he should give the Chitin to the Bal Mois. He is being maknet to the person who's in front of him. He doesn't know that this person is representing the Baal Mois, and the person is not a real shliach in the case of the Brisa. So here too, if we apply it to the case of Rav Kahana, since the person who's paying the money to the original owner of the flax does not know that this is Rav Kahana's flax, so he's not giving the money to Rav Kahana. He's giving the money to the original owner of the flax. The original owner of the flax is now giving that money to Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana gave him $5. Rav Kahana gets back $10. It looks like ribbis. So l'chayr it's going like the B'nai Marava. Because if you would say it's going like Rabbi Yochanan, so then the person who's giving the money for the flax has in mind that I want this money to go to whoever owns this flax. And if Rav Kahana owns the flax, then I'm giving it to him. So that then there wouldn't be a problem of ribbis because he's buying it straight from Rav Kahana. It only makes sense, according to the B'nai Marava, that the person who's giving the money thinks that he's giving the money to, has in mind to give the money to the previous owner of the flax. And then that previous owner is paying back Rav Kahana. Then it looks like ribbis. So l'chayr, it's going like the B'nai Marava. So the Gemara says, but this doesn't make sense. Even if we say it's going like the name of Rava, how could there be an Indian of Ribbis here? Atu mi yor Rav Kahana arba v'shakul timni. Did Rav Kahana give four zuz and get back eight? Kiss, he bought the flax. And the Gemara's Havman, as we saw from Tosis, was that he made a kinyan on the flax. It's his flax. What happened to the flax? Kiss the mimelu diyakar. The flax went up by itself. And then what happened, without asking Rav Kahana Rishus, the original owner of the flax went and sold whose flax? Went and sold Rav Kahana's flax. So he was a gazlan, even though it brought Rav Kahana profit. Migzil gazlua, he stole it from Rav Kahana. Now we learned in the Mishnah, kol anigzalan, whoever steals, mishal mikshas gzela. They have to pay as the item is worth at the time of when it's stolen. So at the time of when it's stolen, in the marshal that we gave, he originally gave five Rav Kahana. By the time it was sold, it was worth 10, or the Gemara's example, 4 and 8, but, right? So, Mishamak Shasak Zela, you, the original owner, when you sold whose flax were you selling? Rav Kahana's flax, who had made a kinyan on it. So, You're a gun, and if you're a stealer, you have to pay what it's worth at the time of gzela. So even if we hold like the B'nai Marava, this won't explain why Rav felt it's a case of ribbis. It's not a case of ribbis, it's a case of a gazlan having to pay back to the person from whom he stole what the item was worth at the time that he stole it. Amre, so they gave an answer. That ain't a chanami. This whole case of Rav Kahana had nothing to do with the B'nai Marava. It has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because what we thought in the Havamina, the way Tosis explained it, is wrong. It's not a case where Rav Kahana was koina, made a kinyan, made meshicha on the flax, and his flax was sold or stolen. But rather, hasam amon avoy. It was a case of amon. Amon means there was a trust. The case of amon, as Rashi brings down, is, and we find this in Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, that if somebody gives money, as Rav Kahana did, to someone else, and that other person doesn't have the flax yet, there was no way for Rav Kahana to make kinyan on this because it wasn't in existence. I want you during the year to buy me flax. So the advantage to Rav Kahana is that if he gets the flax later in the year, where presumably the price would go up, the deal is that whatever, if $5 can purchase 5 pounds of flax, so I get 5 pounds of flax later in the year, even if the 5 pounds of flax are now worth $10. When can you do that? Rashi brings down, only if Yotza Ashar, then Poiskin. Afal Pishein Lazeh, Yesh Lazeh. Meaning that if the market value has been established, so really the person who's getting the money from Rav Kahana could have bought the flax right now. But instead he waited, so the fact that he knows the market price, and he could have bought it right away, even if later he buys it later and it costs more, but that's not considered that it looks like ribbis. He gave him money. He's giving him back flax, the same flax that he could have bought at a cheaper rate earlier in the year. That's not ribbis. However, if he, in other words, loans him the money, the advantage of Rav Kahana is that he's going to get it back hopefully at a higher value. The advantage to the person who gets the money is that he can use the money the whole year till finally he has to pay back the money. So it's like a loan to him. So if he gives him back flax or payrus, then if the shar went out, we say it's derech mekach u memkar. He's giving him money. He's getting back produce. There's no problem of ribbis. However, if it turns out that he gets back money, so then it's mechzik ribbis. If instead of giving produce, he sells the produce and gives back money, then it's ribbis. So let's see the Gemara inside, and then we'll see how it applies to Rav Kana. Amri hasam amon avoy. V'loy mashchei Rav Kana lekisna. Rav Kana never made mashicha on the flax. It's not, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not considered Rav Kana's flax. If the lekeach, the one who pays the money for the flax at the end, doesn't know that it's going to Rav Kana, he knows it's going, he does know, it makes no difference, because it makes no difference, Rabbi Yochanan makes no difference with Neymar Rava. The bottom line is, Rav Kana wasn't kind of the flax here. Even Rabbi Yochanan will be mighty that he doesn't own the flax, and that the money cannot go to Rav Kana because he owns the flax. So what's the pshat here? V'rav l'tameid. I'm a rav. Rav's sheet is. Oysen amana b'peris. You can do this type of agreement through peris. If I give money and I get back peris later. B'vein oysen amana b'damin. But you cannot do amana b'damin, because that, in fact, looks like ribbis. You're getting back more than what you gave. So therefore, now we understand the psak of rav. If the loikeach knows that he's giving it to Rav Kana, so then it's not considered ribbis. It's not mechzik ribbis, because then he is buying Rav Kana's flax, and he is paying the price of what it was worth at that time. So it doesn't look like ribbis at all, because the money, everyone knows, is going for the flax that was supposed to have gone to Rav Kana. The person who he gave the money to was supposed to deliver to him flax. Instead of delivering flax, he sold the flax for money. So if the person who buys the flax knows it's on behalf of Rav Kana, then he's giving the money to Rav Kana. There's no ribbis. However, if he doesn't know it's on behalf of Rav Kana, so then he's dealing with the person to whom Rav Kana had given the money to, he's paying him the money, and that person in turn is giving back to Rav Kana money, so the money's not coming from the lekeach, the money's coming from the person that Rav Kana gave the money to buy flax and give him back flax, and instead of giving him back flax, he's giving him back money. So Rav Kana gave him $5, and Rav Kana gets back $10. That is mechzik ribbis. But memela, according to this pshat, it has nothing to do with the sugya that we've been learning in the last daf. This the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and the Bnei Marava, whether we say that the person whose makne is makne to the person he's dealing with, or does he have in mind, I'm being makne to the Baal HaMois, even if I don't know who that Baal HaMois is? That's a sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, the Bnei Marava, that I'm being makne to the person that I think is the Baal HaMois, and I'm not being makne to the one who's really the Baal HaMois. This is the sheet of the Bnei Marava, and our Gemara's Maskan is that this case, this story of Rav Kana, had nothing to do with that machloikis, but rather it was Nageya Hilchus Ribbis, the case of Amona. Before we begin the next Mishnah, a brief Hagdama. We read recently at the end of Parshas Vayikra, in Perek Hei, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Nefesh Kisechto Mol Amol Ba'Hashem V'Kichesh Ba'Misa, if somebody did an Aveira and he lied to his friend, and the Torah enumerates various money transactions where the person made a shvua and he had perjury by swearing falsely, and the Torah says, what is his punishment? Keren Chomesh V'Oshem. As the Pasuk concludes there, in Pasuk Chavav, Oy Mikoyle She Yishav Alav LaSheker, V'Shilu Moisei B'Roshoi, he has to pay the Keren, V'Chamishisav Yosef Alav, he has to pay a surcharge of a fifth, La'asher Hu Lo Yitnenu B'Yoy Mashmasei. These are very crucial words, which we're going to use in the Mishnah and the Gemara, that he has to return it to the person against whom he swore falsely and lied. V'asashama yavi lashem ayl tamim menatzayin. So here we have the Keren, we have a fifth of a surcharge, and a Korban Ushim. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos explains that the Chomesh means that we are adding on a fifth at the end of the entire whole. In other words, for example, if he denied and lied under oath about something that was worth 80 shkolim, so we take a quarter of 80, which is 20, we add 20 to 80 is 100, and from that entire 100, now the 20 comes out to be a fifth. So it's a fifth after you've added on a quarter from the initial keren. Keren, chomesh v'ashem, that is what he has to pay. And there's a t'nai, a similar pasuk we have in Bamidbor, Perikei Pasuk Vav, and there the pasuk says that v'hisvadu es chatasim asher asu, that there has to be a vidui, there has to be a confession. This chiyuv of Keren Chomesh V'yashem is only if the person not only lies under oath, denies the monetary obligation, but also after he has lied and perjurized himself under oath, he admits and now he wants to do tshuva. Let us begin the Mishnah. Hagoizel es chaveri shava pruta. If somebody stole from his friend something that was worth a pruta, v'nishbaloi, and he swore falsely that he does not owe it to him, that he never stole it from him, and then he's mode, yes, I lied under oath, and I really did steal it from you, the din is, yolichenu achrov, he has to go after the nigzal, and the Bach puts in the word, afilu l'madai, even if the person went and moved to Madai, and he's now going to have to incur expenses to track this person down in Madai, he has to go to Madai, as we mentioned, the Pasuk says, la'asher huloi yitnenu b'yom ha'shmasai, that the person has to actually physically give it into the hand of the person against whom he perjurized himself under oath. This is more than the regular chiyuv of v'heishev es hagezel. V'heishev es hagezel would be not, it would be enough that the person says, I have it in my house, I'm ready to return it. Whenever that person wants to collect it, I'll give it to him. But if he is nishba l'sheker and he's moid on it, then the halacha of the Karen part, this does not apply to the Chaimish, it applies only to the Karen, but the Karen part of the Karen Chaimish Va'asham, he has to travel even to Madai and incur heavy expenses in order to return the Gzela into the hands of the Nigzel. Lo yitein lo lebnoi, he should not give it over to the person, the Nigzel's son, because if an oinus happens, then he will have to pay it again. And by the way, Rashi speaks out on Yolichenu Achav Afil L'Madai that he does not receive any kapora until he returns it to the Nigzal himself, and the din is that he will not bring the Korban Asham until he has first physically returned the Dover HaNigzal to the hands of the Nigzal. However, he should not give it to his son, because if an oinus happens, he's going to have to pay it again. V'loy l'shlucha, he should not give it to the shliach either to bring it. And the Gemara is going to explain that if he designates shliach, a shliach with edim, it's a real shliach to represent him, then shlucha shalom kamaisoi, it would be acceptable. However, here we're speaking about a shliach, as the Gemara will mention further. It's a shliach on Daf Kuftal. The Gemara will mention it's someone that he did not designate in front of Edom. We'll see there in the sugya exactly which shliach is not acceptable to accept this return of the Dover HaNigzel. Avol says, continues the Mishnah, Noisein l'shliach bezdin, and this is a, as Rashi brings down, we're going to see more about this on Amud Beis. This is Takanas Hashavim. We want people to do tshuva, to return the item that they stole. And therefore, although from the Torah, the person would be mechuyev to go to Madai, but the Chachamim made a takana that if he's going to spend more on expenses to get to Madai than the thing is worth itself, most people will not want to do that, and that this will not encourage people to do tshuva, and therefore, if he gives it over to the Shliach Bezdin, then if an oinus happened, he's not responsible to pay again, and in fact, right away when he gives it over to the Shliach Bezdin, he could bring his Korban Ashim. And the item will remain in the hands of Bezdin until the Nigzal comes and is Toiveya, his item that was stolen from him. Continues the Mishnah, Ve'imes, and if the Nigzal dies, Yachsur liYarshav, then he returns it to the Yarshim. Tosfos here, the bottom Tosfos on the Yamid Ve'imes, says, Nira da'asal hashminin, da'filu liYarshim yalach l'madei. Now that the Nigzal is dead, now the Chiyuv to Menoraisa to return the Karen to the Nigzal, now he is replaced by his Yorshim. And the same Chiyuv on the Gazlan is here, if he perjurized himself, that he has to bring the Karen to the Yorshim who are now in place of their father. What happens if Nasalayas a Karen? He gave the Karen to the Nigzal, but Veloy Nasalayas a Chaimish, he didn't give him the Chaimish. Or Machaloy ala Karen. Or the Nigzal forgave him for the Karen, Veloy Machaloy ala Chaimish, but he did not forgive him for the extra fifth surcharge. Or Machaloy alzev alzeh, he was Machal him on the Karen and on the Chaimish. Chutz mi pachis shavar pruta bi Karen, he says you owe me less than a shavar pruta in the Karen. In all of these three cases, ain't it tzarech le'elech acharav. He doesn't have to go after him. Because we learned earlier in the Mishnah, Argoizos chaveri shavar pruta. Also, he can be medayik, only a shavar pruta, but less than a shavar pruta would not have this din, as we see now here in the Mishnah Beferish. And the reason is, because on less than a shavar pruta, it's not considered mammon. There's no chiv of a shava, of less than a shavar pruta, and therefore, it's not considered that he was nishba b'sheker on a monetary claim. This is not considered a monetary claim, less than a shavar pruta, and therefore, he is not mechuyev to go after him to madai. Continues the Mishnah, Nasan loy es haChaimish. What happens if he gave him the Chaimish? Now, by the way, in the previous case, even though he wasn't Michael the Chaimish, but the halacha of, which we learn from the Pasuk, that he has to return it lasher hu loy yitnenu, that refers to the Karen. It does not refer to the extra surcharge. Therefore, if he was Michael the Karen, or he had given back the Karen already, on the Chaimish itself, there is no din of going after him to Madai to give him the Chaimish. Now, what happens? Fakert. Nasan lai sa Chaimish, he paid to the Nigzal the Chaimish. Veloy Nasan lai sa Karen, he did not give him the Karen. Or Mochaloy ala Chaimish, the Nigzal was Michael the Gazlan on the fifth, but Veloy Mochaloy ala Karen, he wasn't Michael on the Karen, and the Gazlan still owes him the Karen. Or Mochaloy al Zev al Zeh, he was Michael both chutz, except me Shavar Pruta be Karen, except for a Shavar Pruta on the Karen. So the bottom line is, in all these three cases, that at least a Shavar Pruta of the Karen is still owed to the Nigzal. The din is, Sorach Leilach Akrav, then that is included in the pasuk of Lasher Hu Lo Yitnenu, that you have to not just return the gazel, not just keep it in your house ready for the nigzel to claim it, but rather you have to put it physically into the hands of the nigzel, as long as it's a shavar pruta. In all these three cases, the shavar pruta is mechuyev to go after him to Madai to return that at least shavar pruta to the hands of the nigzel. Continues the Mishnah, Nasan Lo Yisa Karen. What happens if the gazlan paid the Karen? V'nishba lo ala chaimish, but now he added insult to injury by swearing falsely on the fifth. He already owed a fifth from the first time that he swore falsely. So the Bezdin Paskin, in order for you to do tshuva, as Rashi, we didn't mention Rashi of Kuf Gimel Amid Beis, the last Rashi, says, Leisagi de loy hoida, de kapora vashav and de kra hoidexiv. De siv beges lagir, visvadis chatosim. Rashi tells us clearly that the halacha of Karen Chaimish Vyosham is a halacha when a person seeks to do tshuva. For example, if somebody lies b'sheker, and the Edim say that against him. So, of course, we're going to believe the Edom against the person who keeps insisting that he doesn't owe anything, that he didn't steal. So we're going to believe the Edom. And the person has to make amends. He has to return what the Edom say he stole. However, in that case, where he's not looking to do tshuva, he still denies what the Edom are saying. He wasn't Maida. If he wasn't Maida, he doesn't pay the Karen Chaimish Riyashim. The whole halach of Karen Chaimish Riyashim is only if he is Maida and wants to get kapora and do a complete tshuva. So what did this person do? He was already chayv Karen Chaimish Rashim. He paid the Karen, came to the Chaimish. He tells the Nigzel, oh, I paid that to you already. And he lied again under oath. Bezdin made him swear. He swore falsely. Then he wants to be mited that he taka did not yet pay the Chaimish. V'nishbalai, he swore sheker ala Chaimish. And then he was mited. As we turn to the Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, the halacha is, I raise that Masham Chaimish al Chaimish. Now he has to pay a fifth on that fifth. Rashi says, the Chaimish Rishon Nasa Karen. The first Chaimish turns into the Karen. So first of all, the halacha will be that in the case that we gave, that originally he stole 80 shkolim, he has to pay, if he was nishbal shekher, an extra fifth, which is 20. Now the 20 becomes the Karen because he says, I already paid you back the 20, which he never did. He lied. He swore falsely. He's moited that he lied. Now he has to pay a fifth of 20. How do we come to a fifth of 20? A quarter of 20 is 5. So now he has to pay an additional 5. So 5 out of 25 is a fifth. So now he has to pay an additional 5. So the 20 becomes Karen, and in fact, Tosfos on Kuf Daled, Amud Beis tells us, in Divrei HaMaskol, Nosan Loyas HaKaren, which is in the second wide line at the bottom, the second line of that Tosfos Divrei HaMaskol Nosan Loy, V'hu Adin, says Tosfos, in Nishbal HaChaimish, as Rashi says that this Chaimish, in fact, turns into a Karen once he swore falsely on that Chaimish itself. So now, whatever dinim there are with the original Karen apply now to the first Chaimish. That becomes the Karen. That becomes the new Karen. And now he has to go. We said before that the whole din of going after the Mada is only on the Karen, not on the Chaimish. But this Chaimish turns into Karen. So now he has to go to Mada as well for that Chaimish. And he keeps on doing this. For example, if he's going to swear falsely again on the extra 5 of the 25, so now he's going to have to pay an extra 1 1/4. His 1 1/4 will be a fifth of 6 1/4. And he'll keep on going that way. Ad sheis ma'ad akar mishav pruta. Until that which he is swearing falsely on is going to be less than a shav pruta. And we learned on Amud Aleph that if it's less than a shav pruta, it's not considered a monetary, a lie about a monetary claim. That's not a monetary claim. And on that, there will not be any din that he has to go to Moray. There's no din on shava, and there's no din karen chayim v'shriyashim on less than a shav pruta. Says the Mishnah, this is not only Allah in denying that he stole, but any monetary claim which he denies falsely under oath, he has to pay Karen V'Chayim V'Shriyashim. And really, the Pasuk itself in Vayikra, in Perek Hey, Pasuk of Aleph, enumerates in those psukim there all the cases. V'chein b'pikadon. If somebody received a pikadon and he denies that he received a pikadon and he swears falsely under oath, or any similar case, shenemar, oy bepekodin, oy besusumas yad, Rashi in the Mishnah says, the last Rashi in the Mishnah, halvo, he received a loan and he said, no, he didn't receive a loan, and then he admits that he did, oy begezel, or something stolen, oy oshak es amisoy, or Rashi says, that Oshak es amisoy, he defrauded his friend, is speaking about schar socher. He hired someone, he owes him wages, and he denies owing him those wages. Oy mutz aveda, or he found an aveda, and he said he didn't find the aveda. V'kichesh he denied ba, v'nishbal sheker. So in all these cases, the din is, harei zeh misham karen, v'chaimish, v'asham. Says the Gemara, we can see from our Mishnah that this din that you have to go after Madai is Nishba Loyent. If he swore falsely, then he has to go and bring back the Keren to Madai. But if he didn't swear falsely, then it would just be a din of a Heshavis Akzela, which would not include that he has to physically go to Madai to give it into his hands. Loy Nishba Loy, if he didn't swear, the din is Loy, he would not have to travel to Madai. Mani, who is our Mishnah going like? L'chayr, it's Loy Rab Tarfon, Loy Rab Akiva. It's neither like Rab Tarfon or like Rab Akiva. The Sani will learn from Braisa. Because Alechem Chamisha, if somebody stole from five people, Vani Yadani doesn't know. The Bach puts in the Mem. May Ezeman, from which of the five people he stole. So, V'chol Echad Omer, and each of the five people will say, Oisi Gozel, he sold for me. So Rab Tarfon holds, Maniach Gzela B'nei Mistalik. He puts the Gzela in front of them, and he leaves. Divri Rab Tarfon, these are the words of Rab Tarfon. Rab Tarfon doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva that you have to give it mamish directly back into the hands of the Nigzel. You can leave it, says Tosis, top Tosis, from the Gemara above Metzia, the Flamed Zainam Abeis, that Lav Dafka, you just put it there and leave it, because then maybe the wrong person will grab it. But rather it means, says Tosis at the end of the Tosis, El Yaniach Achiz Bar Adover Miyam Abam. He leaves it by him, and he notifies Beis Din, I have it. When the real Nigzel will identify himself, will prove that it was stolen from him, I will return it to him. Those are the words of Rab Tarfon. Rab Akiva disagrees. Loizu derech might see osim de avera. This is not the way for him to get out of an avera. Ad she yisham gzeh l'chol echad v'echad. He must pay to each and every one. So the Gemara's hava mina was that Rabbi Akiva and Rab Tarfon, who don't go into the inyan, that he swore falsely and he was moide, they seem to be saying their respective shitas, whether the person swore or whether he didn't swear. Rab Tarfon will hold across the board, even if he swore, he just leaves it in as we explained from Tosis, until the person proves that it was stolen from him. And Rabbi Akiva will hold that even if he didn't swear, he must return it to each person. So therefore, money. Ask the Gemara, who's our Mishnah going like? E Rab Tarfon, if our Mishnah going like Rab Tarfon, Afal Gav Dishtava. Rab Tarfon sheet is that even if he swore falsely, Omer Maniach, Zela B'Neyem, and he doesn't have to go to Madai, Umistalek. In other words, in the case there, he doesn't put it into the hand of each one. He just has it for the real one. And in the case of Madai, he won't have to go to Madai. He doesn't hold of this halacha that you have to actually, even by a false shvua, you have to bring it to physically into the hands of the Nigzel. So our mission is not going like Rab Tarfon, because according to Rab Tarfon, even if he swore falsely, you don't have to return it. E Rab Akiva, it's going Rab Akiva. Then L'chay Rab Akiva didn't stipulate that it's speaking about swearing. Afal Gav D'lo Yishtaveh. Even if he didn't swear false, Amar Achi Sham Zeh L'chol Echad V'Echad. He has to put it into his hands, in the hands of each one. So in our Mishnah, where we were Madaik only if he swore falsely, is the din he has to go to Madai. But if he didn't swear falsely, not according to Rabbi Akiva, even if he didn't swear falsely, he would have to go to Madai to return it. So the Gemara says, Le'olam Rabbi Akiva he. Really, I'll tell you, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Akiva Taka doesn't argue against Rabbi Tarfon across the board. V'chi kama Rabbi Akiva achi yisham gzeh l'cholach v'yechad. When did Rabbi Akiva say this halacha that you have to pay the gzeh to each one? Heichad ishtabehu dekamar. It's only if he swore falsely, my time, but what's the reason? Damar kra. Because the pasuk says, as we mentioned before, it says in Vayikra, Perakei, la'asher hu lo yit that Rabbi Akiva understands that if he swore falsely, he has to return it to him physically, the Karen, into the hands of the Nigzel, but that's only if he swore falsely. If he didn't swear falsely, then Rabbi Akiva agrees that he does not have to give it directly into his hand, and Rabbi Akiva would agree that he could put it down and be mistalik, and in the case of where he doesn't know from whom he stole, when the real person will prove it, that he's the Nigzel, then Rabbi Akiva would agree to Rabbi Tarfon, he gets it back. Now, Rashi points out that really the Gemara could have said that the mission is going like Rab Tarfon. The Gemara could have said the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rab Tarfon is in a case where he did not swear. Where he swore falsely, everybody holds that he has to return it to his hand. Except Rabbi Akiva holds across the board, even if he didn't swear, and Rab Tarfon holds only if he did swear. And therefore, our Mishnah will come out like Rab Tarfon, that if he swore then he has to go to Marei. And if he didn't swear falsely, then he doesn't have to go to Marei. Or in the case of the five people, he can put it down. He can reserve it for the person who's the real Nigzel. So we could have had a teretz that's going to Reb Tarfon. Later at the bottom of the summit, in fact, the Gemara is going to try to learn the Mishnah according to Reb Tarfon. Why at this point does the Gemara say it's going like Reb Akiva if it could have just as well have said according to Reb Tarfon? So Rashi answered based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Pei Vav Amidav. The Gemara says that Stam Mishnah is Aliba de Rabbi Kiva. So here in our Mishnah, we have a Stam Mishnah. So if I can make a pshat that'll fit into Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara would rather try to do it with Rabbi Kiva. As we're going to see, the Gemara is going to have questions, and the Gemara is not going to be satisfied that we could zetz on our Mishnah according to Rabbi Kiva. Now the Gemara wants to say, if that's what Rabbi Kiva holds, what does Reb Tarfon hold? Reb Tarfon agrees that midaraisa, there's a din la sherhu lo yitnenu. But the Reb Tarfon holds that afal gavdi shtaba, even though he swore avid rabbanan takanta, we find that, as we mentioned on Amud Aleph, there's takanas hashavim. The chachamim wanted to make sure that people do tshuva and return what they stole, and if they're going to have to go to Marei and the expenses are going to be more than what the item is worth, they're not going to want to do tshuva. So the rabbanan made a takana. The Sanya Rab Lazar Rab Tzadik Aymer, Takana Gedoyle Skinu, She'im Hoy Soy Soy Sir Ala Karen, if the expenses were worth more than what the item itself was worth, Misham Karen V'Chaimish LeBezdin, he pays it to the Bezdin, who maybe Hashamim is Chaper Loy, he doesn't have to go to Marei, he can give it to the Shliach Bezdin, as we learned in the Mishnah Amud Aleph, he gives it to the Bezdin, and right away he can bring his Asham. Not like the halach of the Torah is he has to go to Marei, and only then when he gives it physically into his hand, can he bring his Ashim for full kapara. But if he gives it over into the hands of Bezdin, then Bezdin will hold it until the Nigzal will be Toiveyet from Bezdin. So Reb Tarfon holds that even if there's a shvua, the halacha is that you don't have to go to Marei to give it. And the mail in the case of the Chamisha, this was also part of the takana that you keep it until you know who the nigzal is. You're not mechuyev to give to each one of the five people the gzela so that you know for sure you're giving it back to the person who it was really stolen from. That's part of the takana's hashavin that you don't have to pay five times what you actually stole. Rabbi Kiva disagrees with Reb Tarfon. Ki avid Rabbanan takanta. When did the Rabbanan do this takana that you can give it over to the Shliach Bezdin, to the Bezdin? Heich di yada leman gazla. You know who you stole it from. Dekomahadu leman moina lamore. Because you know that the money will eventually go back through Bezdin, by Bezdin holding it. So when the Nigzel comes to town, Bezdin will give it to him. But Avol, the Bach puts in, Gozel Echem Chamisha, the case when somebody steals from five, the Loyada Leman Gozle, because there we don't know who stole it. The Loyada Leman Lamar, we're not sure that the person who it was really stolen from will be able to prove that it was stolen from him. So in that case, Loyada Rabbanan Takanta, there Rabbi Kiva holds that you can't say that is a Din Mid Rabbanan, that you don't have to give it to all five. Since we'll never know, it may be that he'll never be able to prove it. Therefore, if you want to get tshuva on this, you have to actually give it to the hands of each of the five people. So this is the Gemara's havamin of a pshat to learn that our mission is going, in fact, like Rabbi Kiva. And the Gemara explained the different rationales of both Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon. But now the Gemara has questions on this pshat. Masarev and Rabbi Yudah, Vudah Rabbi Yudah had a question. Amar Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Elazar stated that like Nechleku Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Kiva al Shalokach Echad Mechamisha. There was no machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva if somebody took from, he didn't do an aver, he didn't steal. He took something from five people. Ve'eni yadei meizmem lokach, and he borrowed something, he wants to give it back, he doesn't know from whom he took it. Shemanich tmei mekach beineyem umistalik. He puts down apparently he bought it, and now he has to pay, and he doesn't know who the seller is, and each one says, you bought it for me, but he didn't do any avera. So he keeps the money until it will be nizbarer who the moicher was and to whom he has to return and pay the money. So there's no machloikis. Even Rabbi Akiva will be muttered to Rabbi Tarfon that that's what he does. Alman nechlu, where's the machloikis? She gozel echlim chamisha ben yadim. He stole, not lokach, he stole from five people. Ve'eni yadei meizim ben gozel, he doesn't know from whom he stole. She Rabbi Tarfon, or Rabbi Tarfon holds, maniach to make zela b'nei mistalik. He puts down the zela, he keeps it until it's this barer who, stole it. Rabbi Akiva, I'm Rabbi Akiva holds, ain loy takona, there is no takona, che yishalim, gzeil cholech v'yechad, until he pays each one. Now comes the question, v'yisal kadat r'dishtaba, if you're going to say that the machloik is Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon is only by yishtaba. By loy yishtaba, Rabbi Akiva is moide, that you can be mistalek, that you don't have to return it to each one. So if we have here a case of machloikas by Gezel, it's speaking about that he swore falsely. So if this whole case is speaking about falsely, mali lokach mali gozel, so what in fact is the nafka minna between if he bought something he doesn't know to whom he owes the money, or he stole something he doesn't know to whom he has to return the gzela? Since he did an aveira in the fact that he swore falsely. So there it is, a din of Karen Chaimish V'yosham, and Memela, what's nafkamin or lakach ha-guzzle? The initial lakach was not an aveira. But once he swore that I don't owe you any money, and then he was moited, yes, I do owe, and I don't know to whom I owe the money, so he swore falsely, and now he doesn't know to whom he has to return, the Karen Chaimish V'yosham. So how could there be a difference between lokach and gozel if it's a case of ishtaba? Elamai, it's mashma that their machlokes is not by ishtaba. V'yoid masav rav, rav has another kasha. Maisa b'chassad echad. There was a story with a certain chassad. Shalokach b'shnei b'nei adam. He bought from two people. V'lo yo yodei didn't know meiz mem lokach from whom he purchased. U'bol if nei rabbi tarfon. He came to rabbi tarfon. He said, what should I do? Amar loy. Hanach t'mei mechcha b'neim v'yistalik. Put your money between them and go away. In other words, you'll wait till you find out who to whom you owe the money, and then you'll pay it to the actual moicher. Ball of Nei Rabbi Akiva, the chassid went to Rabbi Akiva to get his psak. Omer Loi told him, "Ein lechot akonat shetishalom lecholach v'yachad." Yeah, no, you have to pay to each one. Ve'i sal kedatik demishtabe. And if you're going to tell me that when Rabbi Akiva says his din of ein lechot akonat shetishalom lecholach v'yachad, and he's arguing. Now Rashi points out that this mais of chassid echad does not hold like what we said before. Because if you remember, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said before, around five lines before it gets wide, loy nechlekur Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Akiva al shalokach. Here in the mais of chassid echad we see that even though it was a case of lokach, there was again a machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. So that's just to point out that this story with mais of chassid echad, that ton of that price that disagrees with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who holds but be that as it may, the point is that whenever there's a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, whether it's in Gozel or it's in Lokach, but it has to be the way we're learning now in a case where it's Nishba L'Sheker. So Nishba L'Sheker, he swore falsely, and now he doesn't know to whom he has to return the Karen Chaimish and the Ashram, Chassid mi Mishtabe B'Shikra. We're talking about a Chassid, so he's not lying. V'chi teimed a Mishtabe. He first swore falsely. He became a chassid after he swore falsely. But that's not true. We have a rule. The Gemara and Tmuran Davtez Vav Amibes. And we had this earlier in the Masechta when we learned about the chassid who tied a behemoth daka to the legs of his bed. So we mentioned this Gemara. V'akol heichad amrinin maisa b'chassid echad oy Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava oy Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi. A maisa b'chassid echad has to be one of these Rabbi Yehudas, either Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi, chassidim de mikara hava. They were chassidim originally. They weren't chassidim after they did an aveira. So it means that they didn't do an aveira. They were chassid. So they didn't swear false. So how could you say that the machloikas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva is speaking about by Nishba where he swore false, where in this case, how could the chassid swear false? So this original pshat that our Mishnah will go like Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva's machloik to Rabbi Tarfon by Nishba l'sheker does not work out because of the kashyas that we raised in tomorrow's shir. We will see how the Gemara tries to explain it, that it goes really according to Rabbi Tarfon.